We're going to spend our time this morning in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 34. But I'd like to just read a handful of verses, and then we will pray again together, and then we will dive in. This is what the Lord says in His Word, chapter 4, verse 1. Again, He began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about Him so that He got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And He was teaching them many things in parables. And in His teaching He said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the blessing of the local church, of the Lord's Day. Father, every day belongs to you, but this day in particular, you have set aside for us to gather and to worship your name, and to hear your word, and to pray. And Lord, you are with us in a particular way now. We pray we would not take it for granted. We would recognize the grace of the local church. We would delight in one another and in worshiping you. We pray the same thing for First Baptist Church of Lowry's. We pray the same thing for Second Baptist just down the road. We pray that your word would fall on good soil there, that you would produce fruit in the hearts of your people, that those churches would be a bright light for the gospel in this area. And Father, we pray for this upcoming conference on Saturday. Lord, I just pray that it would be a fruitful time, that we would grow in our marriages, that we would grow in our parenting, that we would grow together. Lord, I pray that you would use our intentional time on Saturday to springboard intentional efforts in our homes for your glory. And Lord, now as we look at your word, we pray, please, Lord, help us. I have no wisdom of my own, but your word is life. So nourish us, give us what we need, give us the grace to receive it and to bear fruit. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. It is a fool that looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart. Come on in, boys, the water's fine. We thought you was a toad. Do not seek the treasure. I don't get it, Big Dan. Some of you are really confused right now, and that's okay. Others of you, I'm watching as you're looking around the room for other people who know the most quotable movie ever, and you're throwing quotes back to one another. Of course, those quotes come from the movie, "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" Now look, although I was using the English language that everyone in here could understand, only the insiders, only those who know and love that movie could truly grasp what I was saying a moment ago. Now, what does that have to do with the Gospel of Mark? In chapter 4 here, Jesus is going to teach us about the secret kingdom of God, and he's going to do that by using the kingdom language. Now, it's a secret kingdom, not because it requires clues to somehow unlock and get to the real meaning, or because it's even unclear, it is a secret in that it requires certain eyes to see it, and certain ears to hear it, and a certain heart to believe it. The kingdom of God did not come like you would expect a kingdom to come. It did not come in great pomp and circumstance. It came rather hidden in humility. And it requires humble hearts to see it. And so when Jesus teaches about this secret kingdom, he will speak in the kingdom language, parables. And parables intentionally divide the crowd like I did just a moment ago. You see, everyone will hear the same words, and Jesus is going to teach with simple, everyday examples that everyone understands, but only those with ears to hear will truly understand. And we'll learn that the ear is closely connected to the heart. The question for us is, what kind of ears do we have? Do we have the right posture to hear the words of Christ and live by them? So let's listen to Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. Once again, as we're used to, crowds are bearing down on Jesus. We saw last week in chapter 3, Jesus had the disciples get a boat ready because of the crowds. This time, Jesus actually gets into the boat. And he's going to use the boat as a floating pulpit while the crowd is on the land. And I have to admit, that's like a bucket list thing. I want to preach to you on a boat, but we'll figure that out later, okay? So from the boat, Jesus sits down to teach, and the crowd is on the land, and Jesus is teaching in parables. Now, he's going to explain why in just a moment, but for now, a parable is a simple story drawn from ordinary life that is used to illustrate spiritual truth. Simple story drawn from ordinary life used to illustrate spiritual truth, and Jesus then teaches his first parable. Look with me at verse 2. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now, before we get into the parable, notice how Jesus begins. He says, "Listen. Pay attention. Tune your ear." And then Jesus tells us a story of what happens when a sower, a farmer, sows seed. And he says it can land on several different paths, and the different paths have different results. So there's the hard path that has nowhere to grow, so birds snatch it away. Then there's the rocky path. It's not much soil, so it springs up, but it doesn't have room to grow roots, and so when the sun comes out, it withers it away. Then there's the seed that falls on thorny ground, and it does grow a bit, but it grows with the thorns, and the thorns choke the plant, and it doesn't bear any fruit. And finally, there's the good soil. In the good soil, the seed grows, and it has roots, produces grain, and so bears fruit. And to all of this, to all of this, the crowd might say to Jesus, yep, that's what happens. Thank you. When Jesus from the boat is teaching a crowd full of farmers what happens when they farm. They get it. But Jesus tells us the crux of the matter, verse 9. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is kingdom language. And it takes a particular ear to hear it. So what does it mean to have ears to hear? How do we know if we have ears to hear? Look at verse 10. When Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. So there's a group of disciples following Jesus, and it includes the 12 apostles whom he appointed in chapter 3. And they have an itch. They want to understand what Jesus is saying. Why is he teaching about sowers and seed? And friends, that I think is the first sign of having ears to hear. It's a hunger to know. It's ears that have an itch to ask Jesus for understanding. So let me just ask you, friends, when you heard this parable, or when you hear the word preached on any given Sunday, do you want to know what God is saying? Do you want to understand the words of Christ? Do your ears have an itch for God's word revealed to you? Jesus answers their question in verse 11. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Jesus here tells these disciples why he is teaching the way that he is. And he says, to them, to you, to his followers, Jesus is giving the secret of the kingdom of God. But to the outsiders, he says, everything is in parables. So two questions. What is the secret of the kingdom of God? And secondly, who are the insiders or outsiders? So number one, what is the secret of the kingdom? Well, again, the kingdom of God is not like the movie National Treasure. It's not a mystery where you have to find the clues to finally uncover the secret. It's a secret in that it is something that must be revealed. It's something must be given. And it's the secret that Jesus has been preaching. That Jesus is revealing the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. But the way this kingdom has come, it has not come with trumpets and chariots. It's come in humility. It defies our expectations. It doesn't look like the worldly kingdoms we might know. And so it has to be revealed. It has to be given to people. And so Jesus says, this kingdom about God's kingdom is here, repent and believe. The gospel to you, he says, has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. Everything is in the secret kingdom language. So our second question, what does it mean to be an insider or an outsider? And don't we want to know, church, how we can be given the secret of the kingdom? Well, Jesus explains using a quote from his Old Testament. This quote in verse 12 is from Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah 5 and 6, God is pronouncing judgment on Israel for their unfaithfulness and their hard hearts. And so he commissions Isaiah to preach to Israel, knowing it's going to fall on deaf ears. But they're not going to listen. And so he says, hearing, they do not hear. Seeing, they do not see. And Isaiah's words to them, his preaching to them, are going to serve as further judgment upon them. Hard hearts will only get harder to the word. What they need is new eyes and new ears. And so when Jesus teaches in parables, he uses language that hard hearts, tuned out ears, will hear, but not really. Matthew Henry wrote this about this verse. They willfully shut their eyes against the light, and therefore justly did Christ put it into the dark lantern of a parable, which had a bright side toward those who applied it to themselves and were willing to be guided by it, but to those who were only willing for a season to play with it, it only gave a flash of light now and then, but sent them away in the dark. These parables, a story about a farmer who throws seed, are just boring stories to hard hearts. But it is revealed, it is given to insiders. So who are the insiders? What does it mean to have ears to hear? Well, Jesus goes on, verse 13. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So Jesus says this parable is a key to the rest of his teaching. This is a parable about parables. It made me think of like when you walk into Spanish class for the first day and the teacher begins by only speaking Spanish. And it takes you a minute. That's how you learn. Jesus uses kingdom language to explain kingdom language. It's a parable about parables. So how does Jesus explain it? Verse 14, follow with me. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. But then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Jesus says the sower sows the word. Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God. He's preaching the gospel. That's the word. And the different soils are different ears. Or we might say different hearts. And so he says the path are those who they hear that word from Jesus, but immediately reject it. Satan comes and takes it away like the birds take the seed. This, I think, is probably the most obvious outward reaction of those who do not have ears to hear. So we might think of the Pharisees. They hear Jesus preach, immediately reject it and reject him. The next two soils or hearts are not immediately obvious. So the rocky path are those who hear the word and at first receive it with joy. But when tribulation comes, they don't have any root, and they fall away. Receiving the word doesn't last. In John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress, Christian, the main character, has left the city of destruction, and he's on his way to the celestial city, to heaven, when a neighbor of his named Pliable decides to join him on his journey. And at first, Pliable is thrilled to hear about the glories awaiting them in the king's city. But pretty soon, Christian and Pliable fall into the Slough of Despond. That is a marsh mud that represents fears and discouragements in the Christian life. Well, as soon as they fall in there, Pliable loses heart. And he finally gets himself out of the marsh, and he leaves Christian in the mud, and he runs back home. His heart was rocky soil. It had no root. But then there's the thorny soil. There are those who hear the word, but Jesus says the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. And it proves unfruitful. This, I believe, describes much of our Bible Belt culture. Many receive the word, but our kids' sports just demand a lot, and it chokes the word. Many cling to the faith for a while, but the desire for comfort over time chokes out the word. Many receive the word at first, but other things just take priority over the word. Just take our time and attention, and it chokes the word. I was talking to Elder Eddie just the other day. We said, how many times have we talked to someone who we used to go to church with 10 years ago, and you ask, oh, where are you going to church today? Well, nowhere. Why? Not because of one big event, usually, but because over time, other things become more important, and it chokes the word. But then Jesus says there is the good soil. The good soil are those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Notice it's not the good soil earns anything. They hear it, they genuinely accept it, and then their life bears the fruit of it. Church, all four soils are sowed. All four receive the word. They hear the word. Only one has ears to hear. Brothers and sisters, friends, what kind of soil is in your heart? What kind of ears do we have? If the Spirit has made our hearts soft, then when we hear the words of Christ, it's life to us. We receive it. We know we need it. And then our life begins to bear fruit. Jesus speaks in the kingdom language to reveal the kingdom to those who have soft hearts, but to conceal from those who have hard hearts. But it's not as though the kingdom is meant to remain under a rock. Look at verse 21. Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." You don't turn on a lamp and then put a blanket over it. The purpose of the lamp is to light the room. When Christina worked night shift for all those years, blackout curtains were a very important thing in our household. But just imagine for a second, we bought a bunch of blackout curtains, and then she went to bed, and we turned all the lights on in the room and used blackout curtains to cover all the lamps. That's ridiculous, right? The purpose of a lamp is to light the room. Well, Jesus teaches the ultimate purpose of the kingdom is to be revealed. And so Jesus, even here in his teaching, he is revealing the kingdom now, but it will be more fully revealed after his death and resurrection. Church, you know, we have more light today, post-resurrection and ascension, and with the Holy Spirit, than the disciples did here in Mark chapter 4. And one day, Jesus is going to come back in all of his glory. And Scripture says, every eye will see him. It will be revealed totally. The kingdom will come one day in full light. That's the purpose of the kingdom. Until then, though, what should we do? Look at verse 24. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus says, while we wait for the full revelation of the kingdom, listen. Pay attention, he says. One day everything will come to light. But on that day, if we have squandered what Jesus has said to us, he says we will lose everything. But if we have treasured Christ's words, if we have believed him, he says we will receive everything and more will be added to us. Beloved, do not ignore the light we have been given. Pay attention to what Christ has said. Receive it and believe it. Do not tune out the words of our King. I know there will be many on the last day who will attempt to say, Lord, I didn't know. But in reality, they plugged their ears. What kind of ears do we have, church? And Christians, be encouraged. Because as you look around the world, and it can be hard to see the light and glory of the kingdom of God now. Or as we're sowing the word and trying to be faithful, and it's hard to see the church now not doing all that great, be encouraged. Listen to Christ. Keep trusting him, because one day all things will be revealed. Pay attention. But how does this work? I mean, if Jesus is speaking the kingdom language in these parables, how can this that reveals to soft hearts but conceals from others, how can this produce some great kingdom? Look at verse 26. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Jesus says right now the word is sown. The kingdom is proclaimed. The gospel is preached. Christ and his people should call for repentance and faith. And then by the providential work of the Spirit, that word somehow bears fruit in the life of people. As seed is sown, as the word goes forth, God gives the growth, and we don't know how. Just like Jesus says, a farmer sows the seed, then he goes to sleep. When he wakes up, it's sprouting, and he doesn't know. He just sows faithfully, and the work happens. So it is with the word. Which means, church, it's never futile to sow the word, to proclaim the gospel, because God is always at work to produce a harvest, even though we don't know how. Church, this is why every Sunday, week in and week out, we preach, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. No ingenuity. We're not trying to engineer church growth, because it's not our job to produce the fruit. God gives the growth. It's our job to sow. And if we are faithful to proclaim God's word, we can rest easy like the farmer while God does the work by the Spirit through the word that was sown. And one day, Jesus says, the Lord will put the sickle to the harvest. One day we will see in full all that the Lord was doing, as a great multitude from every tribe, tongue, and people will be gathered around his throne. And it will not because it won't be because of our ingenuity. It will be because of the word that was sown. And even still, the disciples might be thinking, this doesn't seem like a kingdom. Like, where's our march into Rome? Where's your army, Jesus? You've chosen 12. Well, where's the golden throne? Where's the crown? Well, that's not the way of the kingdom of God right now. And so Jesus teaches the nature of God's kingdom. Look at verse 30. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. God's kingdom has small beginnings. The mustard seed is like a grain of sand. This Jesus is a poor man from Nazareth. And he's preaching with these simple stories, these strange parables. And he's chosen only 12 apostles. And he's followed around by the poor and the sick, the lame. And yet by the work of this man, the kingdom will grow. Friends, after his death and resurrection, and after his ascension to heaven, and his sending of the Spirit, Peter will preach, and 3,000 souls will be saved in a single day. Or consider the church today. Millions of Christians gather today around the world in worship of this King. And still one day, Jesus is coming back. In Revelation 11, verse 15, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Though God's kingdom had small beginnings, it will be the only kingdom that lasts, Christians. At his first coming, Jesus defies expectations. He comes in humility, The nature of the kingdom is small and largely hidden. Jesus speaks the language of a secret kingdom, but one day he is coming in all of his glory. And those who have ears to hear, those who paid attention to his words, will be gathered under its shade like the birds under the mustard tree. And so Mark concludes this block of Christ's teaching with this summary in verse 33. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. The kingdom will be revealed one day in all of its glory, but now it requires certain ears to hear it, certain eyes to see it, a certain heart to submit to it. And at the end of his ministry, this Jesus will again defy our expectations. He will wear a crown, but it will be a crown of thorns. He will wear a king's robe, but it will be placed on his wounded and bloody back. And he will not conquer the enemy riding on a chariot. He was nailed to a tree. He will cry then, "It is finished." And his body will be buried in a tomb. But on the third day, that tomb will be empty. And his apostles will begin to proclaim, "His death was for you. He died for the forgiveness of your sins so that all who hear the good news and believe him and have ears to hear might be forgiven and cleansed and made new and justified and reconciled with God and will be sanctified to be like Jesus and will one day be glorified just like him." But you have to have ears to hear it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Has the Lord given to you the secret of the kingdom? To see Christ as glorious and as Savior and as King, and to see your sin for what it really is and the wrath that we justly deserve? And do you trust in Christ? Perhaps the same gospel story you've heard 1,000 times, you are now hearing with new ears for the first time. If so, pay attention. Turn away from your own way, from your own sin. Turn to Jesus Christ. Confess him with your mouth. Believe him in your heart. Tell somebody else in here. Ask questions like the disciples. Come to Christ. And then for others of us in the room, you've had these ears to hear, perhaps for a long time. And you might just need to hear today, keep believing. Keep listening. Keep tuning your ear to Christ's word. We now hear the secret kingdom by the Holy Spirit through the word. One day that trumpet will sound, and everyone will hear it. And I think we'll look back on all the times when we did not quite understand and when we did not see it in full, but we listened and we received and we kept trusting, and we will say, "It was all worth it to the glory of God." Church, as we wait for that day, the Lord has given to us a meal to share in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is also a seemingly humble meal. just the bread and the wine. Its true meaning really is hidden also from hard hearts. And yet, when we take the Lord's Supper in faith, in believing what Christ has done, our Lord reminds us of his sacrifice. He reminds us that our sins are forgiven. He nourishes our hearts as we commune with God here, with Christ here with us, church. He knits us together as a church family as we share the family meal. And finally, he renews our anticipation of a much greater heavenly meal that awaits us. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward as we prepare. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, then we'll invite you to come and take both the cup and the bread and take it back to your seats, and then we're going to take both of those together. Friend, if you're here, if you're not a baptized believer in the Lord Jesus, we ask you just to let the supper pass. The Lord's Supper does not save anyone. The Lord's Supper is for those who have repented of their sin and trusted in Christ, who have identified with him and with his people through baptism. So consider that's you, just using this time to pray, maybe to respond to the things you've heard from his word this morning. Let me pray, and then we will invite you to come. Father, thank you for the words of your son Jesus. I pray for ears to hear as we take the meal that Jesus has told us to share together. Lord, would you use it to strengthen our faith, to renew our commitment to you and to the church? Lord, would we take it not as some magic meal, but just take it in faith in Christ and what he's done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.